Fourth parak of Avo, second Mishnah, Benazi Omer. Benazi would say, Havi rotz le mitzvah kalaki v'chamura. Person should run to do mitzvahs. A light one looks like a serious one. Ubarech min aveir, and a person should flee from sin. She mitzvah gereres mitzvah, because one mitzvah drags on the second. V'aveir gereres aveir, whereas a sin will drag behind it another. She sechar mitzvah mitzvah, v'sechar aveir aveira. The reward for mitzvah is mitzvah, and the reward for aveira is aveira. Rabbeinu Yonah has a discussion on the two parts of this Mishnah, the mitzvah gereres mitzvah versus schar mitzvah mitzvah, and the same aveira gereres aveira versus schar aveira aveira. And the Rabbeinu Yonah begins with the beginning, havi rotz le mitzvah kala, run to do a mitzvah, because Chazal tell us, ein ata yodea matan schar shel mitzvah, we don't know what is the value of the mitzvah, we don't know the schar. So we can't really make the evaluation of Kala and Chamura. And we should flee from Averis, because Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah. So Rabbeinu Yonah begins by saying the concept of Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah and Aver Gereres Avera is Teva. That's a natural consequence. Mikoach HaTeva Huzeh. This is a natural event. Because when you do a Mitzvah once, that brings you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it gets you more in the habit of serving Hashem, so it will be easier to do another mitzvah. And the difficulty is in the first step. The difficulty is in the first mitzvah you go to do. But once you get past that hurdle, it'll be easier to do the next mitzvah. And basically, you're getting yourself accustomed to this. You're creating a habit. And if you did it twice, then the third one will be easier, even though initially, maybe the second and third would have been very hard to do, but once I did that first one, then the second one's not that hard, and then the third one's not that hard, because ultimately, you've created a habit, a practice, a comfort level of doing mitzvahs, and you'll continue to do them. Conversely, when it comes to chet, aver gereres avera, this is also a natural phenomenon. If you did an avera, and you've pushed yourself away, you've distanced yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when it comes to another Avera, that maybe you wouldn't have been so inclined to do it, but now you are because you're already distant from Hashem. And once you've done two Averas, then even the third, which maybe you didn't have a taiva for, you will have a taiva for, and basically you create a taiva for things you would not have had a taiva for. So the Chazal tell us, and again, Rabbi Yonah says this is a natural phenomenon of mitzvah gereres mitzvah, averis gereres avera, that if you get in the habit of doing mitzvahs, it'll be easier to do more mitzvahs. And if chas v'shalom, you get in the habit of doing averis, you'll get into the habit of doing more averis. There's a Ramban in his Perish to Chumash that also says a similar concept. And he's coming to explain how could it be that people have a taiva, a desire for things, chatoyim, different levels of immorality, when the Gemara says there is no natural taiva for these things. There are certain things that the Chumash says are forbidden, certain immoral behavior, that there really is no natural desire for. So how do you explain that to people who do? They desire these weird, strange things that the Torah says it's a to'eva, it's an abomination, this is not something natural, and yet we see people do have such a taiva. So the Ramban says, you can acquire a taiva. If you do things wrong, one after the other, and what's going to happen is, things that no one else would have desired, you're going to desire. Things that no one else would be interested in, you're going to be interested in. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying as well. He says, you don't have a taiva for this thing. But once you did one aver, and a second, and a third, so now this is fine by you. And these are the things that Hashem hates, and you and Hashem calls it to'eva, and you're fine with it, and you have a taiva for it. Basically, you create your own addiction, if you will, to things that the Torah says on a level playing field, there is no desire for this, there is no taiva for this, but a person can create it. So this is a natural phenomenon. This is not supernatural. This is not ruchnius. This is teva. This is how Rabbeinu Yonah explains it. Again, Ramban in the Parash of Chumash, I believe, is saying the same concept, that you can create your own addictions and taivas for things that no one else has a taiva for this. But people who do one sick thing after another end up with taivas for things that are, for the most people, not something that we would consider normal. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Mitzvah, aver. But then there's a second half. Sheschar mitzvah, and schar avera. And here, Rabbi Yehuda says, this is beyond tefa. This is not tefa anymore. Schar mitzvah is not tefa. And he brings a chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo nitin biyad ha'odom hara v'hatov acha b'chira levat. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give in man's hand bad or good, only choice. Like it says, u'b'charta b'chayim, pick, choose life. V'acha shebarcha lo haderecha achas, and if you pick a path, in the Teva Holech, Hashem Imo, if you are going good and Hashem is with you. V'chiyase mitzvah achas, misayes osu lasos acheres. When you do a mitzvah, you get a supernatural aid in doing another mitzvah. Ki b'fnei atzmo ein lo yuchel l'sgam l'hetiv. Because on your own, you don't have the ability to do good. And that's what it means, chas mitzvah mitzvah. V'lo chas v'shalom shezu yischar. It doesn't mean chas v'shalom, this is your reward. Shem Kain, because if so, mas chayesh, you'll never get sechar. Because you say, the sechar for my mitzvah is the next mitzvah, then I never get reward. That's not what it means. That's not the pshat. Sechar is for Olam Haba. What Chazal means to say is, the fruits of the mitzvah, the pre of the mitzvah is a mitzvah, and your oichel peroseh b'olam hazeh. And you can enjoy that in this world. It helps them to do other mitzvahs. And your karen increases for the next world. So he says, again, I'm going to repeat the line because it's actually mind-boggling if you think about it. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo nasan b'yadam hara v'tov. Good and bad is not in man's hand. What's in man's hands? Bechira levad, just the choice. And once you choose the path, if it's a good path, Hashem is with you. You'll do one mitzvah, Hashem will help you do another mitzvah. Ki b'fnei atzmo, on his own, ein lo yecholis gam l'hetiv. You can't even do good. Without Hashem's help, you're not doing good either. Nothing's happening without Hashem's help. So the good you do is not in your hands. The bad you do is not in your hands. What is in your hands? Choice. And he repeats this in Sechar Avera Avera. What's the Sechar Avera Avera? In Bacharas HaMavis V'Sahara, if a person's choice was death and evil, and he does an Avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves away from him and leaves him and puts him into the hands of his evil nature, and that's the pre of his aver, that's the fruits of his sin, that he's allowed to do another one. And it's not within his ability to change directions. It's not his path. Once you've chosen the path. And that's what it says. And he goes on to say, Chazal teaches us, if you come to purify yourself, Hashem will help you. If you come to defile yourself, Hashem will not help you. But the door is open, and you have the ability to do that. Again, the line that he says, it's an unbelievable line that Rabbi Yonah writes. You have no ability to veer from the path you choose. It's not your choice once you've made the choice of which path you're on. So Rabbi Yehuda is telling us, then Rabbi Yochum writes about this in Das Chacham Musar. We can't do good. We can't do bad. We can choose to do good, and we can choose to do bad. Once you've chosen, you're basically led as if you have a leash dragging you. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah, schar vera, vera. And what we are judged for is our choice. The Torah says, I'm given before you, there's toiv, there's ra, make a choice. Bechar to bechayim, choose life. Once you've chosen, it's like you got yourself on this roller coaster, and there's no getting off in the middle. And one has mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah, one has aver after aver after aver. And you can't pull yourself out. You can't get out of it. Once you've made that choice, you're on that path. So it comes out according to Ben Yoina that everything boils down to your first decision. Some want to say there's a concept of ratzon that plays into bechira. In other words, bechira is the choice you make. Ratzon is your will that kind of dictates your bechira. Right? What's your ratzon will dictate your bechira. So that is up to you. A person can choose, and a person has his ratzon in his hands. But the actual actions to do good or not to do good, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's not in your control. This doesn't mean that there's destiny that you can't choose to be good or bad. That's what non-Jews believe, that bad people are born bad and good people are born good, and that's their destiny, because they deny the concept of Bechira Chofshis, they don't believe in free will. So that's not emes. Before a person's born, it's decided a lot of things about him, but not Tzaddik and Rasha. That's not decided. That's for him to determine. But the way we always understood, it's like every time you have a mitzvah, so do you choose to do a mitzvah or not? The Beinu Yonah makes it sound so much more fundamental. What path are you going to be on? That's where your choice is. Is your choice to be on the path of righteousness, mitzvahs, or is your choice not to be on that path? What happens after that? It's a runaway train. It's one after the other. Schar mitzvah mitzvah and schar vera vera. When you think about it, if schar mitzvah mitzvah, the way Chazal say, and again, we're not going to say it means reward and punishment because that's in the next world, not in this world. So you really don't have bechira anymore. Once you've done that first mitzvah, you don't have bechira to do the second mitzvah anymore, because now this mitzvah is going to give me another mitzvah and another and another. And Avera, once I've done the first chet, if schar Avera, Avera, so then again, there's no room for Bechira at that point. Because once I did the first chet, now I'm pulled into the next chet. So the Bechira is at the starting point, before the first chet, before the first mitzvah. The person has to make a choice. What derech does he want to be on? What is his path? And once he's on that path, there's no getting off. Now, having said that, there's a thing called tshuva. Again, the words of Rabbeinu Yonah, once a person has done an avera, the Ribbono Shel Olam moves away from him, he's given over to his teva hara, and the payrus of his avera is another avera, ve'ein b'yado yecholes lasur b'nedach, he does not have the ability to get off this road. It's not up to him anymore. He already chose the derech. So what does a person have to do? A person has to be able to, at some point, if he wants to get off this train, to choose a new choice of paths. He has to somehow break the cycle. So tshuva, ultimately, is going to be getting off this path and getting on a different path. Because when I'm on this path, my actions are basically out of my control. Out of my control. And I have to be on an entire new road, new path, if I want to break the cycle. So tshuva is basically getting off the train, getting off the road, turning around, moving in a different direction. Without that, one thing leads to the other until utter spiritual destruction. So tshuva is going to be the way out of this predicament he gets himself into. And again, tshuva is going to start with a ratzon and a bechira. It's going to start with a will and a choice, and then you have to follow that up. So we always talk about tshuva as a return, going back. And the concept of this return or going back is in the context of changing direction. You've been moving away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now you're going to be moving towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You may be far away from Hashem, because the train took you far, far away. But as long as you've turned around and you're heading in the right direction, that's already called tshuva. And according to the Gemara, if you had a thought of tshuva, it's already a tzaddik. What happened? The hero tshuva is the ratzon, that drive, that desire, the bechira, to change direction. And then you have to follow up. Some say that's the avodah of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the first of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and yet we're not doing Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. There's no Vidu, there's no Achet, there's no Ashamnu. So where is the Tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? The Tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is the Hirhor Tshuva, the contemplating Tshuva, the considering Tshuva, the choice to do Tshuva. Some say that's what you should have in mind when we hear the shofar blow. So that's all you can control. All we can control, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is our choice. Once we've made that choice, we're on that path. Now, this doesn't mean, again, you'll be exempt from the actions you've done. Because once you've made that choice, then the product of that choice is the subsequent actions, and you'll be punished for those actions. But the initial Bechira is only the first stage. So in other words, I guess the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah is, we think of Bechira at every step. We think of Bechira every time something comes our way. And he's saying it's not true. The Bechira is which path you're going to be on. Once you've made that choice, you're on that path. So if you choose wisely and you choose properly, you're on a good path. If you choose improperly, you're not. And it is possible to be on the good path and then change your mind. That's not impossible. It's possible for someone to be a tzaddik, and then he has a change of heart. And he takes a detour and he goes off the road and he's going the wrong way. That is possible to happen. Might not be that likely, but it's definitely possible. But that's where the Bechira is. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, the Bechira is in the initial choice, the original choice. And it says, that's Pshat in the Mishnah. The Pshat in the Mishnah, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah and Schar Vera Vera, is that you choose the Derech. You choose the path. Once you've chosen that path, once you've chosen that Derech, that's where you continue, that's where you're heading. Now, we find a phenomena of people who are doing mitzvahs and doing what seems to be the right thing, and then they just fall off. They stop keeping mitzvahs. Sure, it's not all at once, little by little. We use the language going off the derech. So the language of it makes sense with what we're saying. You're changed paths, which is possible. But like, was this a conscious will and desire on the part of these people to change direction? Person's been doing everything that's expected of them, and then there's some crisis perhaps. So is it a conscious choice to change directions? Is that what happened? Or was it this interest more than a choice? I wonder a little bit if people do the right things because they choose to do the right things, because they choose this path, or the path was chosen for them. And then when it comes the time for them to choose for themselves, they may not be willing to continue on that path. And this is something to ponder. There are people who go to the schools that we go to and do the mitzvahs that we do. But if they don't feel that this is their choice, this is something that they want to do, but rather it's something that they are forced into, something that they don't understand, something that they feel they have to do for peer pressure, then when you remove those forces and they're left to themselves, maybe that's the first time they're making a choice. And maybe they're not interested in these things. And perhaps it's a scary thought because we have to start thinking about ourselves and wonder, are we doing what we're doing because we've chosen to? Or we do it by rote? And mitzvos anasha milamada, things you do by rote, have very little value. And I don't know if you say schar mitzvah mitzvah by mitzvos anasha milamada. Again, Rabban in his parish in Chomish by Vachai Behem writes very harshly about those who do mitzvahs anashim lamad. Again, this is the Navi Yeshaya giving Musa to Klai Yisrael. What are your mitzvahs? You're just doing it by rote, automatic behavior. You're not thinking about what you're doing. It's not your instinct what you're doing. You're just doing it because you do it. So without any thought, without any kavana, without any passion, without any desire, what is that? You're just doing what people expect you to do because that's what we do, not because it makes any sense to us. That's not what mitzvahs are about. And I doubt we'll say schar mitzvah mitzvah if that's how the mitzvahs are being done. And I wonder a little bit if that's part of the problem. I'm not saying it's the whole problem, but part of the problem when you have young people who reject Torah and mitzvahs, if part of it is because that which they've been doing has not been done out of a sense of understanding, out of a sense of joy or happiness in the mitzvah. They're just doing it because this is what I'm supposed to do. And it was never, you know, perhaps explained to them and made for them something that they would want to do, given the choice. So this is something to ponder, that there comes a point in our life we have to be aware of, we're doing this because we want to do it. We're doing this because we recognize this is the correct thing to do. We realize this is the way to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the chayim, this is true living, and therefore this is the choice and the path that I want. If a person doesn't realize these things, if they're in the position to eventually choose their path, they may choose a different path. So I wonder about that. If the schar mitzvah mitzvah didn't help all the years they were doing everything right, and they were davening and learning and everything else, keeping kosher with Shabbos, if it didn't mean anything to them, so then I don't know if that's schar mitzvah mitzvah. Schar mitzvah mitzvah is when you make a conscious decision, this is what I want to do, this is the path I want to be on, so that it follows. One thing leads to the other. But if you never made that decision, then a person perhaps is going to be open to the possibility that it's not going to work out the way they want it to work out. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah approaches the Mishnah. Now, there's another simple concept of schar mitzvah mitzvah, and probably schar vera vera as well, that the Svarim talk about. And that is that there are some mitzvahs that we do on a regular basis. We daven every day and we keep kosher and stuff like that. And then there are mitzvahs that don't come our way all the time. And sometimes we have to look for them and look for opportunities. One example is chesed. There are many opportunities to do chesed, but sometimes you have to look for them. Sometimes you have to pursue to find an opportunity to help somebody, to do something for someone. And the Svarim teach us that if a person makes it a habit of trying to go out of their way to do something good, to do a mitzvah, then schar mitzvah mitzvah, the Ribbono Shel Olam will give them more opportunities to do mitzvahs. There aren't always opportunities to hachnas zarchem. What's true hachnas zarchem? True hachnas zarchem is a person has no place to stay and you take them in. Inviting a neighbor down the block to come over for a meal is not really hachnas zarchem. They have a place to eat. You have a place to eat. That's very nice to get together with friends, but it's not hachnas zarchem. Hachnas zarchem is if someone comes from out of town, doesn't have a place, perhaps they're coming for a simcha, and you put them up. That's hachnas zarchem. They don't have where to stay. And you're giving them a place to stay. Maybe you're like giving them a meal. Maybe you are giving them a meal. A place to stay is hachnas zarchem. A meal is hachnas zarchem. I once heard from one of my rabbis that it's a terrible thing if children grow up never giving away their bed for a guest on a Shabbos or Yontif, or a weeknight for that matter. There are some kids who will never give up their beds, enough rooms in the house. There's a guest room. If the guest room is taken, no room for guests. There's a concept of giving up your bed and letting. I heard my parents say, I should. My 10-year-old trying to sleep in her room? Right, your 10-year-old trying to sleep in her room. She should get out of her bed and give it for a guest. There's such a concept of being mechunech and hachnas zorachim. Even if he's giving up your bed. It's not a terrible crime for a child to leave his bedroom for hachnas zorachim. So these opportunities don't come all the time. There are people who look for these opportunities. There are people who actively pursue it. I know there are registries for to have guests. By the Hasidim, you see it much more often. They literally look. I'm davening with my father in a Bell's Beis Medrash in Bnei Brak, and a fellow comes over, come to my house for breakfast. He never met me before, never met my father before. You're a guest, right? You're not from here. Come to my house for breakfast. And we went. It was a beautiful breakfast. We're not used to that. Chassidim, this is like part of their life. They're trained for this. It's not just Shabbos meals, find someone in the Beis Medrash to get home. Like they would vie for guests. They would like almost fight with each other. Who gets to bring home the person's old place to stay? It's a beautiful avoda that the Chassidim do this, they train it, they live it. I don't see it as much by the non-Chassidim. I'm not saying we don't do Chesed, but I think there is what we can learn from the Chassidim. If you're familiar with the Bikur Cholims that they do, the Sam Bikur Cholim, it's unbelievable, totally incredible what they do with hospitals and food, and it's incredible. So people who look for mitzvahs will get the schar of getting more mitzvahs. The Ribbono Shel Olam will give them more opportunities to do mitzvahs. Someone is not actively pursuing mitzvahs, so they may not get so many opportunities. But if you do it, then the schar of one mitzvah is the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you opportunity to do more. Some say that's the pshat. We say in Avinu Malkeinu, Kasveinu b'sefer zechuyos. It's a very funny line. Write us in the book of merit. What does that mean? Write us in the book of merit. If you have zechusim, you're there. If you don't, asking for it, it's not going to mean anything. You have to be there. If you're there, you're there without it. What are you asking? Write me in the book. To write me in the book of life, the book of Parnassus. I understand all that. What is it? Sefer zechuyos. So I saw explained. It means write me in the book when you're looking to give someone a zechus. I want to be on your list. When you're looking for volunteers, put me on there. When there's an opportunity to do a mitzvah and you need someone to do it, please put me on that list. That's what it means. Put me in the book when you're looking to give someone a zechus. I should be in there. I should be getting on the list of possible zechus. Now, obviously, that means that when it comes your way, you're going to chop a rhyme. And sometimes it means mesiras nefesh. Not every mitzvah is easy. Some mitzvahs take a certain degree of mesiras nefesh, and we know that by Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the most valuable, the mitzvahs that we do by mesiras nefesh. So it's kind of like do the mitzvah and think about it later, because if you think about it first, you might say, I can't do this, or I don't have time, or too difficult. You just got to do it, and you do it. So schar mitzvah, if this is the path that you chose and you're going to pursue mitzvahs and you do mitzvahs that you look for, then the Baruch Hashem will give you more chances to do more of these mitzvahs. That's how it's often explained. So Chabad Yosef Simcha Avrocha brings a mice. I've seen this story. I don't remember where I've seen it, but he brings a story. He quotes the Sefer where it's brought from, but I didn't see it in that Sefer. I must have seen it written up. And you may be familiar with the story about a woman who was baking bread. She would bake bread on a regular basis. Every day you bake your bread. And she baked her daily bread. And she had enough for that day's meals. And a poor person comes to her house. And he cries. He hasn't eaten in a day or so. And he has nothing. And does she have anything to give him? And she gives him one of her fresh loaves of bread. And she gives him one, and she has one for herself. A little while later, another poor person comes, and he's been 2 days he hasn't eaten anything, and his family's not to eat. Can you give me anything? So she gives her second loaf of bread, her last loaf of bread, to this second fellow. So now she has no bread, so what's she going to do? She takes some of her flour, and she goes off to the mill, and she has it ground up into flour from, she has wheat, I'm sorry, she had wheat. She takes it to the mill, then they grind it to flour. And as she's taking her bag of flour home to make new bread, because her old bread is gone, a wind comes and blows her sack out of her hands, and she's left with nothing. It goes off out to sea, and that's it. She has nothing to eat. So she goes to the Beis Medrash, and she wants to know what's going on. She goes to the Rav, the Rosh Hashiva, and says the whole story. One poor person came, I gave him half my food. Second, I gave him all my food. I figured I'll take the wheat, at least I have something to eat. Now I have nothing to eat, they have what to eat, and I have nothing to eat. What's Hashem doing to me? Why is this happening? So the way he brings the story, the Rav said to her, let me think about this, wait a few minutes, maybe say something to Hillam, Dam Mincha, whatever, let me think about your situation. In the meantime, two people come in, and they have a bag of gold coins. Said, this is for the yeshiva. And he says, I don't know who you are. Why are you giving this money to the yeshiva? So they say, we were at sea, far from land. and our boat struck a rock and a hole opened up in the hull, and we were going to sink, and we're trying to bail the water out, and it's not helping, and this boat's getting lower in the water, and we thought we were doomed. So we made a neder. We made a promise that if the Ibn Shalom saves us, we're going to give the sack of gold for the yeshiva. And as soon as we finished making this promise to Ibn Shalom, we hear something bang the ship, and the water stops coming into the ship. Something got into the hole and blocked it up. And we were able to bring the ship to port, and it didn't sink. And now we are here to fill our promise. So the Rosh Yeshiva says to these sailors, what exactly hit your ship that stopped the hole up and kept it from sinking? So they said, again, how the story goes, wait and we'll go check. They go back to the port, they go to the ship. They see a bag of dough that got knocked, stuck in the hole where the hole was in the ship from the rock. They bring the sack to the yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva calls over the lady, do you recognize this sack? And she says, that's my sack. That's my sack of flour. And the sack of flour got into the water, and the water got into the sack, and it became dough, and it fit into the hole, and it stopped the ship from sinking. So Shiva said, look at the zuchus that the Ibn Hashem gave you, such a zuchus. Because you gave your bread to the aniyim, so it's basically the schar mitzvah of the first ani was the second ani. By giving the second ani with Mesiras Nefesh, because now she gave all her bread, you now have the zuchus of saving everyone on the ship. Because your sack of flour kept the ship from sinking. And that's schar mitzvah, mitzvah. Ashrecha, Tovlach, and she was very excited and very happy, and then he gave her money from the sack. I don't know if he gave her all the money, but he gave her money, and she had what to eat, and not only did she have bread, she even had stuff to eat with the bread. That's the way the mice is brought. That's how he brings it. So I don't know if you've heard this story before. I think I've heard the story. And basically, the concept of the story is that obviously we don't know how one thing means something else to somebody else. That's for sure. Because we don't know the big scheme. All she knew was she lost her bag of flour and couldn't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to her. And in reality, it was saving all the lives of the sailors on this boat. But in the context of our Mishnah, she did a mitzvah. She did another mitzvah. She did it with Mesiras Nefesh. So she was zeicher for another mitzvah. And we don't always get to see the results of our actions. We don't always get to discover how one thing caused another thing, caused another thing. We don't always have that merit. But Chazal telling us that's how it is. The reality is that when we do things that we're supposed to do, so we are given opportunities to do other good things, and we don't know the ripple down effect of one good thing we do and how this affects the next person, the next, and the next. And there are many, many stories in all the books about this kind of thing. So that all goes back to this idea of schar mitzvah, mitzvah. That when you do a mitzvah, so you're creating a positive force and it generates more good things. One thing leads to the other and so on. Again, the way that Rabbi Yonah puts it, it's on a personal level. This is my path. This is my train track, so to speak, that I've picked. But and the way the others are explaining it is more global, that one good thing leads to other good things, and we are often not even aware of the impact of the good things that we do. We aren't aware of who watches us, who notices us, who will do themselves something good because we did something good, and then how that affects the next and the next. So these are things that fill the storybooks that we read, but that all goes back to this Mishnah of Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Conversely, there's also Schar Aver Aver. We know that bad things could lead to more bad things, could lead to more bad things. And it's very scary. There are bad things that a person would never dream of, but because you started at point A, you end up at Z eventually. And according to what we're saying now, it's not even on a personal level, but it ripples down to other people and affects other people, and it's a destructive force that you've unleashed. So chet becomes no longer a personal issue. It becomes something that I am loosing out to the world, and it's going to have, I ruin one person's day, they'll ruin the next person's day, and they're upset with this one, and next thing you know, you broke a shidduch, and this one, who knows what's happening because of one thing you did wrong. And then it later, you know, after 120 years, we're about to see the impact of our actions, and we'll be shocked at the power of the chet. It works both ways. There's tremendous power in mitzvahs, tremendous power in chatoim. We shouldn't underestimate. And I think that's ultimately the beginning of the Mishnah. Have a rotz le mitzvah kala berech min avera. Run to even a small mitzvah. You don't think this mitzvah is valuable? You don't know the value is. And even if you did know the value, one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, to another mitzvah. So you start with the mitzvah kal, it could be then you'll be zeichet to the serious mitzvahs too. Run away from averas. Maybe you think it's not such a big avera. Why should I run? Big avera, run away. A small avera, maybe I don't have to run away from a small avera. But you don't understand. If you don't run from the small avera, eventually you're going to get caught up in the big avera too. So this is something to be aware of. You know, if you want to take the example from the physical world, I believe the way they put it, teenagers don't start getting addicted to terrible drugs. They start with small things. And one thing leads to another thing, to another thing, and you end up with terrible things. You don't, let's say, jump right away to the really bad. It goes. It's a progression. So memela chet boech min aver. Run from chet, because this is what's going to happen. There's the natural, the supernatural. It leads you and it pulls you. So we're going to run from any chet. We're not going to differentiate small. We're not going to say this is a small chet, no big deal. We're not going to say that, because from the small chet comes the next chet and so on. And when it comes to mitzvahs, we're going to run to the mitzvahs, because even if it's a mitzvah kala, that's the way to get to the serious mitzvahs also. So I believe that's the connection of Ben Azai. Run to the mitzvah kala, berech na vera, because the mitzvah gross mitzvah and schar mitzvah mitzvah, vera gross vera, schar vera vera. We should never underestimate the power of mitzvahs, nor should we underestimate the power of the averas.